John. It's really good to be with you. As I mentioned, my wife Alice and I were born in Sydney, and we grew up in Sydney, and we were very good Sydney Anglicans. We went to the local Anglican church. So then when we moved to Melbourne, we moved to a suburb that was where my work was located. So the most logical thing in the world for us to do was to go to the local Anglican church. However, we moved to an apartment that was two doors from the local Baptist church. And during that course of the first week, I happened to meet the pastor. And he said, you should come along. So we went along. And the first time my wife came with me, new to Melbourne, didn't know anybody, we went to the local Baptist church and we got a very good reception. It was really quite nice. And that was great. And then 2 days later, my wife's at home and gets a knock on the door. And it's one of the ladies who she met the previous Sunday at the Baptist church. And she said, I've just come to see how you're going, be friendly, welcome you to the area. And that was 37 years ago. And that lady, her name is Tony, and she's still one of my wife and I's best friends. Because we were welcomed really, really well to a church, we made the decision to stay at that church, and we are still there 37 years ago. We love our church, and it's been wonderful for us raising kids in a situation where my work took me away quite a lot. I understand today you're celebrating 160 years of being at a church, and I bet if I got a few of you talking, you'd probably tell me stories of remarkable ways God has worked here as part of the church in your life. I'm sure you'll know people who've become Christians as a result of engaging with this church. I'm sure many of you here will be able to point to times when your life has been changed as being part of this church. And so it's really good that you celebrate that. It's a wonderful thing. Today I want to move your mind rather than looking back. I want to encourage you to also look forward. And I want to ask you the question, what about the people you are yet to meet? What about the people that God is going to bring across your doorstep there? What's your opportunity to introduce them to Jesus, to have them as a part of your life, to strengthen their faith? What opportunities is God presenting you there? That's what I'd like you to think about. And I'm going to show you a little bit of information that we've collected that gives us some clues as to what is really good practice of a church welcoming new people into their midst. And what we've done... Do I need to turn the clicker on? Great. Turn on. What we've done is we've had a look at a lot of data. We've looked at the Australian Bureau of Statistics. We've looked heavily at the National Church Life Survey, which incidentally is the largest survey in Australia apart from the census. We've looked at research done by a Christian researcher called Mark McCrindle. We've looked at every place we can, and we've read a whole lot of books and gone to a whole lot of websites. So the information I'm going to present to you has been very well researched. Next slide. So why did we move our attention to welcoming and integrating people into our church? Struggling with the clicker again. If I just say next slide, are you able to move it? So next slide. Thanks. Back one slide. Great. The reason we looked at it, because we found that Jesus welcomes new people. Jesus encourages us to reach out to the community. Jesus encourages us to do what we can to interact with people. Here we read in Luke 15, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled with them, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Jesus was not frightened to integrate and to interact with new people. Next slide, thanks. Now, I put a slide with a graph up, and there's many of you saying to yourself, oh no, he's got graphs. Don't worry, there's not too many graphs. There's a couple of you saying, great, he's got graphs. You are an interesting people. What this does is we look at a church of about 100 people. I would suggest it's roughly your size. We ask ourselves, for a church of 100 people, how many visitors come across your doorstep in the course of a calendar year? And the answer might surprise you. The answer is 1,100. A church of 100 people will have 1,100 people cross their doorstep during a year. Now, a lot of that is hatches, matches and dispatches. Weddings, funerals, christenings, baptisms, a lot of it is. But for a church of 100 people, what this tells us is that on any given Sunday, 80 people who are there will be the normal weekly people. And then there'll be about another 20 people that are the people that come once or twice a month. And then we've got an interesting group, the group in the middle I want to talk to you about. They're the visitors. They're the new people. For a church of 100 people, over the course of one calendar year, you will receive statistically 160 new people will visit your church. Roughly 3 people a week. And of those people, a little over half of them, half of the 160, will be church people. Probably Christians, but they get it. They understand this thing of standing up and sitting down, singing in things, drinking grape juice. They understand the language. They're at home. A little under half of your visitors that come across your doorstep are completely at sea. This is a very foreign environment to them. So do you think they're nervous? Absolutely. They are really nervous. And the experience they have right at that time could impact their life dramatically going into future years. The next slide, please. Next slide. We ask people, as a newcomer, what was your first visit to a church? And the overwhelming majority said their first visit to a church was to an ordinary Sunday service. What this means is you might plan some special services throughout the year, Christmas, Easter, you might do a visitor Sunday or something. Great, go for it. But for most people, their first visit to a church is to your normal worship service. What this means is if you have an A game in welcoming people to your church, if you have an A game, you need to be playing the A game every week, because every week you're likely to get people come and visit you. Every week. Incidentally, the month of the year that you're most likely to get visitors is January. Guess which month of the year most churches send their regular teams on holidays? January. Next slide. We ask people, why did you leave your previous congregation? Now, can you have a guess? Why is it? What's the single most important or most common reason people decide to leave a church? Next slide. It's because they move. People move. 70% of people that leave your church will do so because they move. There's not a lot you can do about that. One thing you can do is be aware that if 70% that are leaving a move because they're moving, you've got an equal number of people moving into your area. So a question for you is, what are you doing for new people to your area? That's a question for you. The second question for you is, what are you doing with the people who leave because they move to encourage them to join another fellowship wherever they go? Two things you should think about. Next slide. We ask then, apart from moving, what's the next most common reason for attenders leaving? Next slide. The most common thing they had in common was their only connection to the church was on what happened on a Sunday. This was research done with several large churches. One of them was Crossway Baptist, which is a large Baptist church in Melbourne. They found over a course of a year that 95% of those who left, other than those who moved, 95% of them, their only contact to the church was on a Sunday. So if you're wanting to integrate well new people into your church, you need to be thinking about other points of contact with them. Next slide. So we have a key opportunity. Each year about 160 visitors are coming across our door. Next slide. Approximately 70% are coming to an ordinary worship service. Next slide. So we want to think about how you can improve the welcoming process that you go through in bringing someone who doesn't know your church into perhaps a life-changing relationship with Jesus. What does that pathway look like? So if I ask you the question, when do you think the welcoming process for a new person occurs for someone who's going to visit your church? When do you think that starts? At the door. Yeah, that's what most people say. Can I tell you that for 90% of people that come through the door for the first time, they've already been to your website? So I want you to think in terms of your welcome process, starting with your website. That's how people are going to make their first decision whether to visit you. Have you ever put in the name of your town and the word church into Google? It's a very interesting exercise, because that's what a new person's likely to put into Google. I have. And if I put in the words Portland and church, the second hit is Portland Baptist. And then bizarrely it goes on to a few Baptist churches in Portland, Oregon. But the second hit is Portland Baptist. When a person visits your website, what's the most common page they look at? The most common page they look at is something called Meet the Pastor or About the Team. Because what they're looking for is an understanding of, if I come to this church, what's it going to be like? Who will I meet? What's my experience going to be like? And they really want to know more than how many degrees John's got in theology. They want to know a bit about him and others personally. Your football team. What your kids are like. That's the most commonly visited page. So I want to suggest to you the welcome process to your church starts with your website. Okay, next slide. So we want you to be intentional. Next slide. One pastor said, visitors join this church despite us. Only the keen ones jump through all the hoops. I hope you're not like that. Next slide. So we want to make it easy for visitors to connect well at our church. Next slide. So what are the key things we need to look at? Next slide. We want to map out a simple pathway that thinks through what happens with a person from the point they go to your website to hopefully becoming a member of your church and having a life-changing encounter with Jesus. So think of Google searches being the first thing. Next thing, raise and train a welcome team and a leader so no one falls through the cracks. Next slide. Have a clear purpose. Next slide. And next slide. So, when does a visitor decide whether your church is friendly or not? Do you like to have a guess? Morning tea. Yeah, on the right track. Most people will say when they first arrive. It's the first 10 minutes after the service ends. When we did the researcher said it wasn't the 10 minutes I expected. I thought they would say it was right after they got out of the car and walked into the building. But more than any other time, folks here said, I decided this was a friendly church in the 10 minutes following the conclusion of the service. Does that ring true for you? Have you ever been lonely in a crowd? And you're most lonely as a visitor in the first 10 minutes after the service ends. Now, when I looked at our home church, Hawthorne West Baptist, we had a welcome team, and I realised they knocked off as soon as the first song was sung. Maybe it's for you too. But the most important part is the first 10 minutes after, and we want to talk to churches about the idea of a pew missionary. A pew missionary is not the person at the door greeting you. A pew missionary is the persons or the people in your church, and no doubt you have a lot of these people. They're the people who are looking around, seeing these new people with you and saying, as soon as the service ends, I will go and I will greet them. That's what we're looking for in a really good welcome team. That opportunity you have to make a connection in the first 10 minutes after the service. Some churches I've dealt with have tackled this in some very interesting ways. One church I was at, they realised that as soon as the church was over, that's when they normally had their private meetings with each other. I'll catch up with you, John, after church on Sunday. And they brought in a rule, and they said, we are not going to have any meetings in the half hour after worship ends. Another church said, we will not talk to each other whilst ever there's a visitor in our midst who has nobody talking to them. And this is a true story. This is Cranbourne, Melbourne suburb. As you come into the church, they say to you, what's your coffee order? And you say, skinny decaf latte. And as soon as the worship time ends, you're presented with skinny decaf latte. Wow. Wow. Next slide. So I want you to think about what happens in the 10 minutes before the service. Absolutely. Next slide. And any greeting time you do during the service, you might want to warn them of what's going to happen throughout the service. Next slide. What happens in the first 10 minutes after the service? Really think about that. Now, the first 36 hours after a person's visited your church, I want you to think about that and go on. And what is your next step process for any visitor that comes to your church? If they're not a Christian, what are you going to say to them? Are you going to invite them to join some sort of Alpha course or Christianity Explained course? Are you going to introduce them to someone who may be able to explain the gospel to them in a relevant way? What are you going to do with those person? And that's very different to what you might do with someone who's a well-church Christian person moved to the area. What will you do with those person? How are you going to introduce them to the life of your church? Are you going to introduce them to someone who will get them connected into a small group? We want you to think through what is the process you want to happen with new people who walk through that door. Next slide. Now, this is quite interesting. When a volunteer makes personal contact with a first-time visitor, next slide, within the first 36 hours, 85% of them return next Sunday. If you delay that, next slide, to 72 hours, only 60% return. Next slide. And when delayed to 5 to 7 days, only 15% will return. And now some scary news for John. If the pastor makes the first contact, percentages were then cut in half. They're going to get a surprise here, John, because this doesn't tell you that the pastors are hopeless at making contact. What this tells you is the incredible power the lay people have. Because you think about it, if you're followed up by a pastor, there's a little bit in your brain that says, it's really nice, I'm sure he's very nice, but we know he's paid to do that. But if a volunteer, a non-paid person, follows you up and inherently says, I love this church so much, I'm going out of my way to follow you up because I want you to come and be part of this church. Wow, how powerful is that? So this is not a criticism of the paid clergy. This is an opportunity for those of you who aren't paid to follow up new people and invite them to come and be part of your church. We want you to be authentic. Next slide. So whose responsibility is it to welcome newcomers to your church? Let's hope it everyone says everybody. We ask people, how important was it that the church is friendly? 71% said extremely important and 21% said somewhat important. 90% of people say it's a huge thing. How friendly is your church to new people? Next slide. We asked people, apart from moving, why did you drop out of church? And 45% said they did not feel part of the church, and 25% actually used the word click or in-group. Not a surprise. Next slide. So, I want you to think about it. Why do you reckon first-time visitors choose not to return to the church they visited? The number one reason, this is from the top 10 ways, the number one reason is having to stand up and greet one another in a worship service. Now, I noticed you didn't do that. If you'd have done it today, this was going to be a lot of fun with me telling you. When I show this to people, the congregation normally divides in two. And what happens when you see this, all those of you who are slightly extroverted go, what nonsense is this? And as you're going that, all those who are slightly introverted are sitting there going, oh yeah, I hate that. The problem is it's mainly the extroverts that get out the front and tell everyone we're going to do that. If you choose to have a greeting time in the middle of the service, you are potentially making it very awkward for a lot of your visitors to engage with you. The second reason was unfriendly church members. I thought you'd like reason number 9 as well. I put that in there. Reason number 9, members telling guests that they were in their seat or pew. I'm sure that never happens here. Next slide. We asked people, how successfully were you made to feel welcome? And the column on the right, if you can't read it, is showing the column for an attender spoke to me. The column next to it is the minister spoke to me. Can you see there? The minister speaking to me is good, but it's almost twice as powerful that it's not the minister who speaks to a new person. Those of you who are not the minister, you've got a lot of power here. Next slide. Here, I'll explain it quickly to you. Don't worry, it's not too complicated. What this slide basically tells us, we ask people about their faith journey. And those on the left-hand side are saying their faith has not grown much recently. Those on the right-hand side are saying their faith has grown a lot lately. Those on the left-hand side who say they haven't had much growth in their own personal faith are a quarter as likely to feel at ease talking to people about faith. They're half as likely to have invited a non-Christian to church, and they're half as likely to be tithing their income. So there's a great correlation between churches who are growing and the people within the church saying they are growing personally. Next slide. So we want you to shift your mindset and be authentic in the way you welcome people. We want you to have an attitude to give more than you take. Learn what are the next steps you want a visitor to take who you meet in your church. What do you want them to do? Connect them with multiple people in the service. So, what is it that goes, use you for example, what's your name? Barbara. If I start coming as Barbara's friend, at what point will I stop describing this as Barbara's church and change over and start describing it as my church? What has to happen? I might come 3, 4, 5 weeks and still be calling it Barbara's church. What is it that makes me swing it over and say, this is my church? The thing that makes that swing is that I have more contacts than Barbara. I have to know more people. So if you have visitors who are connected to one of your members, whilst ever that's the only person they talk to, they will not call it their church. We're looking for you to have the ability to have multiple contacts with people. Back a slide. Right. We want you to connect with people and with multiple members after the service. Ask them to join you for a drink or something after. Introduce them to the pastor. Follow them up yourself. Have an attitude that every member here is a host. Next slide. So we want you to think of yourself as a Lego brick. A Lego brick, back a slide, a Lego brick has points it can connect to other Lego bricks, but it's a finite number. And it's the same with you. You have multiple ability to connect with other people, but you can't have too many. And if a visitor comes into your church and everyone's contact points are full and they have no contact points available for a new person, the new people are going to struggle. So one issue is, after I've talked today, you might decide, right, we're going to have a lot of red cordial and get ourselves on fast forward and really do this well. For the first week, a person comes, but what happens the second week they come? Are you going to be so busy welcoming the other new people? What happens the second? You need people who have got the ability to add relationships to them. Next slide. We want you to lift your expectation. Next slide. One minister said to us, I don't expect newcomers to stay. When visitors turn up for the first time for our church, next slide, I'm almost trying to find them another church to go to. That's a genuine quote, isn't that? I'm sure Portland's not like that. Next slide. Pray. Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, so pray to the Lord of the harvest, therefore to send out workers into the harvest field. Who are the people who are going to join you in the coming months and years? How are you going to go about connecting them and welcoming into your church? How are you going to enable them to have the same experience you might have had of God really working in your life as part of this church? This one might surprise you. The media would tell us if we walked down the main street of Portland and said to the great unwashed, would you like to come to church with me on Sunday, that everyone would tell you to nick off. It's half true. About half of the people will say no. What's interesting, you walk down the main street of Portland and invite people to come to church, 16% say they will come, and another third say they will think about it. So just under half the population say that if you ask them to come to church with you, they would at least think about it and probably come. Next slide. And then when we ask them, what's the likelihood of you being a frequent attender at this church? Well, a small number say yes, 3%, that's still 1 in 30, but another 9% say maybe. So you've got 12% of the people actually saying they might come and want to be part of your church. Yes, there's a lot of people who'll tell you to nick off, understand that, but people are much more receptive to receiving an invitation from you to come and try visiting your church than you might initially think about. So you've got a key opportunity. Visitors are coming and they're coming to your usual Sunday service. We want you to be intentional. We want you to think about the welcome process people go through. Next slide. We want you to be authentic. We want them to find you genuine. The next slide, we want you to lift your expectations. Final slide. This is a true story. Recently, a real estate agent that we know of decided that he might like to engage with his spiritual side. And for the first time, he went to church and he met some people on a Sunday. And the following Thursday, the pastor rang him up to follow him up. And the real estate agent said, "I don't get it." He said, "I presented at your church, and in my language, I was a hot lead. And in my world, a hot lead is followed up the next day. If one of my staff waited 5 days to follow up a hot lead, I'd sack them." So I'm not saying you need to act like real estate agents, but really lift your expectation as to what might be possible to have people join. So I'm going to end with just three questions you may want to ask yourselves. What are the things you at Portland Baptist are doing well? And I know there's a lot of things you're doing well. What are the things you could improve? What are the things you might need to start doing? And is there actually anything you should stop doing? So I will pray for you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity you give us through visitors that do come and be part of our church. We pray that we will be open to sharing our lives with them and introducing them to God and Jesus. We ask that you bless us in all these endeavours. Amen.
Amen.